Be in Romans chapter 11. We begin by reading verses 1 through 12. Romans chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the Scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it was written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now with the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. Well, here we have, of course, a wonderful passage which speaks to us of how that God is not through with Israel. That is, he has not forgotten Israel, but rather that God has a future for Israel. It is true, as some teach, of course, that that we recognize that Israel did forsake God, and that God did chasten them, and that God did bring upon them a recompense according to their sins. Yet we find here in Romans 11 is a strong refutation of the idea that God is through somehow with Israel. And so Paul's opening question means, or says here, has God cast away his people? Verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, Paul uses himself as an example, saying, if God has cast away his people, then why am I standing here doing what I am doing, preaching Christ, preaching the salvation of God? You see, Paul was an Israelite, and God then therefore has not cast away Israel, because Paul himself was of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and that he was being used of God because God had called him. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the Scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying? Well, it is true that in that day when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and when he did pray against the prophets of Baal, and when he did ask God to draw down fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice, and to say effectively, whom will you follow? Will you follow God, or will you follow Baal? And we find, of course, that Elijah prevailed in his petition to God. And he also recognized that Israel was in rebellion against God. And we do know that he, even at that moment, when he afterward, when he ran from Jezebel, as it were, that he became very much concerned about his own walk with God, and that he thought, well, perhaps I will be consumed, I will be destroyed, my life may be taken at this very time because they seek my life. And God had to confirm upon the very heart and mind of Elijah that no, there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed that stone idol. And we recognize that God then preserves a remnant people unto himself. The nation of Israel turned against God in that they refused to hearken unto the word of the Lord. They refused to hearken unto the prophet. But God did not forget his people, nor hid the future for his people. And so Israel, the Israel of God, is an Israel that would be known as a remnant people of God, a people that will finally at last be drawn back to him, and that God will truly use his people as he sees fit, according to his word and his will. So we must understand that God has not completely cast off Israel in this. Rather, there is a remnant Israel, and there is a people of God, and God means to fulfill his promise to them. And so we find that God uses this opportunity to show Elijah how that there were those who were a remnant people of God, even among the Israelites. And so let's look a little bit further here. Verse 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more works. Now, what is he getting at here? Well, if we understand the true purpose of the election, according to God, God elects his people according to grace, not according to their works. Therefore, though Israel did rebel against God, that does not negate the fact that God has called some unto himself of Israel, and that those should be saved. And that God will preserve a remnant people, and that God will preserve a people according to election, not according to their works. And this, we find that this is a very significant truth, of course, in the scripture, that God calls people unto himself. God doesn't choose this remnant on the basis then of their works. Neither does he choose us on the basis of our works. God chooses us on the basis of his own grace, sovereignly, his electing grace. And so these two principles, grace and works, are mutually exclusive. A gift cannot be earned, and what is free cannot be bought. What is unmerited cannot be deserved. And God's choice was based on grace, not on works. So we see again in verse 5 and 6, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it were by works, then it would not be the grace of God. It would not be that we would say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. We could not say that if it was by works. But it is by grace, and it is not by works that God saves. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Well, that which is of work is not of God. That is, we cannot somehow conjure up our own faith. We cannot conjure up our own religion. We cannot make our own salvation. We must look to another, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is the one who came and died for our sins. He is the one who suffered and bled. And as the scripture says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes are we healed. Of course, the stripes of Christ he bore for us in his sufferings and in his death upon the cross. And we are healed of all our transgressions through Christ. So we find that that is the only means of the forgiveness of sins is by the blood of Christ. And we must resort to the grace of God to see that accomplished in us. And it cannot be by works. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And so as we see in verse 7, the conclusion then is that Israel failed to obtain righteousness. Why? Because they sought it through a self-effort. In other words, they sought it through a righteousness of themselves. And every person that seeks to seek their own salvation through a righteousness of themselves ultimately fails. And the reason of that is because, we can't live righteously enough. We cannot live as righteous as God is. God is righteous. God is holy. We are not. We have a propensity to sin. We have a sin nature in Adam. So even as Adam sinned, we sin. And that sin has passed on to all people alike. And only through the salvation of God do we have the hope of eternal life. And so we cannot save ourselves. We cannot create righteousness of our own. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, saith the scripture. And so the remnant chosen by God succeeded in obtaining righteousness, but not of themselves, but through faith. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the only means of righteousness. The righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we find that that righteousness which is of Christ is then transmitted to us. How? Well, it is the grace of God. It is by faith alone. And it is not by our works that is accomplished. In other words, Christ has come and died for our sins, and the merit of Christ is to our benefit. And so the nation suffered what might be called a judicial blindness, in the sense that they were blinded. If you read Isaiah chapter 6, you'll find that blindness being spoken about, even Isaiah chapter 6. And I'll just turn back there for a moment to read about that, as God called Isaiah to preach unto the nation of Israel. And particularly, I'd like to read in verse 9 and following in Isaiah chapter 6. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without habitation, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed them far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But in it shall be a tenth, in other words, a remnant, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And the holy seed, of course, refers to a remnant. as well. And so there was a judicial blindness that fell over Israel, a blindness because of their own sin and wantonness to rebel against God. And even though Isaiah was to go and to preach Christ unto them, yet his commissioning was that they would not hear, they would not see, they would not listen, they would not respond, but God would preserve a holy seed among them. And so it is that God preserves his holy people, his seed, his remnant people, the seed of Israel. God preserves them according to his own will and design. And so the national Israel is temporarily set aside, but not cast away permanently, but will be elect according to the election of grace. And so this is exactly what the Old Testament predicted would happen. And God then allowed them to suffer this situation that the Messiah might come, that Jesus might come, that he might be revealed as the true Savior and Lord, and the Savior of his own people, and that he would come to save his people from their sin. Because they would not hear, they find that the voice of God, like one crying out of the wilderness, John the Baptist came, proclaiming Christ. And now we find that the message turns to Christ and to the redemption which is through him. And so let's read further here in verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The election hath obtained it, a reference to the election which is after grace. In other words, Israel would not come according to the works of righteousness, but God would save them according to his electing grace. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And of course, that reference seems to be going back directly to Isaiah once again, pointing out that they would not hear. Verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. So David too anticipated the judgment of God on Israel. And so he described that the rejection of the Savior as calling on God to turn their table into a snare and a trap. And so the sum total of their privilege and their blessing, which flowed from God, would be fulfilled in Christ. It would not be fulfilled according to their own righteousnesses, but according to the righteousness of God which is in Christ. And so we recognize that God meant this for their good. In 11:10, verse 10, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. So just as he began in the beginning of the chapter to say, hath God cast away his people, God forbid, now he says, have they stumbled that they should fall? And he says, God forbid, and gives the reason. He says, rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the world. God meant it for good, that salvation might come unto the world. Realizing that even his own people, the nation of Israel, which were called of the seed of Abraham, realizing that his own people would finally rebel against him, that the righteousness of God would not be by works, but be by faith in Jesus Christ alone, by grace through faith, we recognize that all of that which prevailed would ultimately culminate in Jesus Christ when he came that the fall of Israel might redound to the glory of God, in that God would use that fall to show them the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so they have they stumbled that they should fall? No, he says, God forbid. But rather their fall, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, that is, be the blessing from God, which God would then bring salvation unto the world, and the diminishing of the riches of the Gentiles, how much more the fullness? God's fullness through Christ would be far greater than anything else that is possibly imagined. And as we look back, of course, to the covenant which God made with Abraham, that his seed would be as the sand of the seashore or as the stars in the heavens above and without number, and that all the families of the earth should be blessed in Abraham, and that Abraham, being the father of the nation of Israel, the people of God, the ultimate fulfillment of that should come to pass in Christ, as Christ himself would come to be the Redeemer, the only Redeemer revealed unto the world. And so we find in Christ the fulfillment of these things, the election of God according to grace, not only unto Israel, but unto the Gentile as well. Therefore, Paul could say in Romans 1:16, again, to say that the power of God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you that we have this wonderful opportunity of knowing Christ as our Savior, and that through him alone we have the full electing grace of salvation, the grace of God, that which has redounded to the glory of God, unto Jew and Gentile alike, and that God has not forgotten his people, but has set them aside temporarily that he might fulfill his plan of redemption, that he might at a later time restore such a one which was completely without hope. And we thank you, Father, that the hope of our salvation comes alone through Christ, that Christ alone is our righteousness and our salvation. And so let us take the greatest of confidence in Christ and realize that our salvation is in him and him alone, and that we can be well assured of our walk with God and of hope unto eternal life, because it is by grace through faith that we are saved in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.